You're listening to 88.5 WFDD on NPR One.
A new approach to healthcare is changing the way we talk about illness. More and more medical schools are beginning to teach their students how to use stories as part of patient treatment. This weekend, Wake Forest University's Humanities Institute is hosting a symposium on what's called narrative medicine. It's a way to help bridge the gap between doctors and patients. When Jared Smith was 8 years old, he was diagnosed with lymphoblastic leukemia. It's a cancer of the blood and bone marrow. When he got the news, the thing that stuck out in his mind was the idea of losing something he loved.
I was playing football, and the doctors told me I couldn't play anymore. But I really didn't know what was going on. I was too young.
Jared had to undergo chemotherapy, blood transfusions, and radiation treatment. It was his life for 3.5 years. His mother, Cheryl Smith, says his care team at Brenner Children's Hospital was able to use sports as a way to help Jared cope with his new reality.
It was a team effort, and I know Jared speaks of football a lot and different sports a lot. And I always remember him telling the doctors we're a team. And that allowed for some reassurance for him to be comfortable with the doctors. They found a personal connection with Jared to talk about other things other than the scientific stuff of medicine and what his body was going through.
This is what narrative medicine looks like. Harvard Medical School Dr. Rafael Campo is also a poet and writer, and he's one of the keynote speakers at this weekend's symposium. He says the practice can give doctors and patients a shared framework for talking about illness.
Ultimately, by understanding how patients relate their stories, we gain a deeper appreciation of what it means to live with an illness and to be able to treat it more effectively.
It's a way to connect a patient's chart, for example, with a patient's story. Not only can it be used in pediatric or long-term cases like Jared's, Campo says narrative medicine is a good tool in the ER as well.
I think in some ways, in those sort of acute interactions where perhaps you're not going to have another visit with that patient, you know, the story in that particular moment takes on even more meaning and even more consequence.
Narrative medicine isn't without its critics, though. Campo says he's been met with skepticism from his colleagues, who already have full plates.
You really want me to actually read a poem with a patient? Are you crazy? Are you really going to, you know, say that, you know, we should swap stories? I mean, this is, you know, it's impossible.
But Campo says it's worth it. And in fact, it's making things more efficient for his practice. He can quickly find the most important information about a patient faster.
I am able to sit down with a patient and right away get to what is at the heart of what's going on for them at that particular moment, at that particular visit. I don't have to ask the 10, you know, throat-clearing questions, you know, that are very close-ended and directed.
Narrative medicine is being incorporated into curriculum around the country at places like Columbia and Ohio State, and it's gaining traction at other medical schools like Wake Forest University Medical School, where the goal is teaching active listening and empathy. For Jared Smith and his family, this has all been a key part of his care throughout his treatment. He's 14 now and 3 years cancer-free. He says cancer is now part of his narrative.
It's always going to be there, but the story will keep going.
For WFDD, I'm Bethany Chafin.